I am Linda van Tilburg for Buzz News. Many South African companies are re-evaluating their remote work policies, favoring a return to the office approach. But the concept of hybrid work, which allows for a blend of office and home-based work, appears to be a lasting trend. So how do employers and companies navigate this landscape? To shed light on this topic, we have Anne Rutledge from Resourgenics in the Biz News studio. Hi again, Anne. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Great to have to see you again, and great to be here again and talking about a very interesting topic that kind of is on everybody's lips at the moment, and everybody wanting to know what's the way forward and what do we do?
Yeah, well, as a recruiter, so how do you perceive this current trend of transitioning back to the office?
So we've definitely seen a huge increase in the number of companies wanting their staff to come back to the office. Since late last year, a lot of our roles that we started recruiting for our clients really did a complete shift to full-time office rather than being hybrid and remote. So, you know, definitely seeing that, you know, over 60% of our roles coming through as more full-time office and only about 30% being hybrid and a really small percentage of about 5% being remote, which is definitely a different shift for us. And you know, having to find those candidates that are willing to come back to the office as well has been quite a bit of a challenge as well. But we can definitely see it in South Africa, on the roads, taking away the power outages and all of that. There's definitely an increase on the commuters on the roads, everybody, you know, hustling back and forth to back to the offices. So it definitely is a trend of people coming back to the office in 2024.
So what strategies should companies implement to manage this return to the office?
I think, you know, for existing companies with their existing staff where they've possibly been working remotely for such a long period of time, it's important to transition that very carefully. It's important to have certain policies in place. And obviously, there's a lot of roles that can still be done remotely, or a lot of tasks that can still be done remotely. So it's finding that balance between, you know, being able to come back into the office and being productive on both sides, whether it be remote or within the office or in a hybrid model, and having those policies in place that support the model that you're looking at, as well as supporting the individuals. A lot of the companies are seeing the value of having individuals coming back into the office from a collaboration perspective. There's definitely been an erosion of culture with individuals within the companies as well. So bringing them back into the office creates that culture again, reinforces certain practices within organizations as well. So, you have to find that balance. And it's not a, you know, today we hybrid or remote and tomorrow you're back in the office. It's a transitional period. You've got to think about, you know, where your individuals or your employees have been, you know, they need to transition. They might have to make some lifestyle changes themselves. So really having to be able to transition that and getting it back in there.
Do you think visibility is important for progression?
I think definitely with the younger generation coming into the workplace, it has played a part in companies wanting individuals to come back into the office, or employees to come back into the office. You know, many of the Gen Zs that are coming to the workplace, they don't know anything better. They have never been in an office environment, and they need that support. They need that guidance within their peers to be able to you know, progress and to do well. I don't think it's so much about visibility, because I think what the pandemic did teach us is that we can all be very productive remotely. That's definitely not an issue. And it's not about visibility. It's more about that engagement with individuals, being able to have those coffee breaks with your individuals, being able with your peers, being able to collaborate, having in-person meetings rather than via an online virtual meeting, you know, being able to make decisions quickly when you have individuals within the office environment, and quickly jump on ideas and be a little bit more innovative when you together as a team. And I think that's the benefits of being back in the office, is that collaboration, that immersion into the office individuals and what the culture is like, and being able to talk to individuals. We are social at the end of the day. So we need to be able to talk to people, not just virtually all the time.
And how do you anticipate the move back to the office will impact recruitment and talent acquisition? So are people, if you have a job in demand, you can probably choose how you want to work.
Absolutely. And you will always have those individuals who don't want to come back to the office. And they want to be remote. And I mean, that's a choice that people have made. And that's also fine. So I think from a recruitment perspective, it's definitely changing the strategies around talent attraction. You needing to find, it is more difficult to find the individuals, the right individuals to match those roles. But at the end of the day, there also needs to be a compromise. So it's not necessarily just everything that the candidate wants or everything that the company wants. You've got to find that compromise and that balance. And it's got to be attractive for the individuals to come back. So things like proximity to their homes, commute times, flexibility. So even though I am coming back into the office, am I able to start later, leave earlier? Can I still, you know, take time out for personal errands that I need to run? So being able to compromise around those little things, they make a big difference in people's personal lives, goes a long way in terms of attracting the talent as well, while you're still achieving the same thing of having the individuals back in the office with you and building on your culture and building on your engagement and your collaboration and all of that.
And how do you see the physical office space evolving in the future? I've read overseas there's this concept of office peacocking. In other words, come back to my office, look how nice it is. I mean, almost like that Google concept, like all the facilities that we have. We've got a gym and downstairs.
So I think, you know, it's costly to reimagine the offices. So I think from an organization perspective, yes, I think whilst everybody would love to redo their offices and have it looking so wonderful and so inviting, it's not always possible. But I think it's about making it as comfortable as possible. So definitely having more collaboration areas, having more, I want to say almost chill areas where people can talk and engage is definitely more the way to go. It's not so much about sitting at your desk when you're coming into the office anymore. It's about who can I speak to? Who do I need to collaborate with? Because if I'm just going to sit at my desk, I might as well be working remotely. So in reimagining the offices doesn't have to be a huge revamp and a huge way of, you know, changing the way things are completely, but it's about redesigning it in such a way that people can meet together as teams, that they can, you know, have that coffee quick meeting request, you know, be comfortable in what they're doing as well. And I think a lot of companies over the time have also downsized their offices. So they have got an opportunity to, you know, just rethink it slightly in terms of the layouts and how they put people together.
So is hot desking a huge concept in South Africa?
Yes, definitely. With a lot of our clients, it's a lot about the hot desk, or in some instances, you've got, you know, with the large corporates, they've designed booking spaces where you can go online and you book your desk for the day, and that's where you sit for the day. We've adopted a hot space desk policy as well, so first come, first serve. And it really goes a long way because you often find then you sit with different people all the time and you're collaborating with different people all the time. So, you know, it's not just about your space, it's about our space. And how do we collaborate together?
So is the talent in South Africa, is there enough talent? Because there was a brain drain at some stage, but there are reports of people actually returning. So what do you find?
I think we have the issues with a lot of other countries as well, where there is talent shortages. And maybe we are a little bit more than most countries that have got that as well. So we still experience the talent shortages with those highly skilled professionals. There is a lot of South Africans that are coming back to South Africa. A lot of them coming back to the lovely Cape Town area because, you know, they always perceive that as being, you know, nicer and that type of thing. So there is a lot coming back. But I think, you know, we were always going to have that shortages of skills. And again, it comes down to companies reprioritizing or reimagining how they work as well. So yes, you have your core South African team, if I can put it that way, and they're in the office or hybrid or, you know, come and go, but you might have to supplement that with flexible workforce from a contingent basis, which might be based anywhere to do specific projects certain development work or things like that as well, where you're able to find those skilled resources. So it's never going to be, I think for organizations, it's not just about a permanent workforce or a flexible workforce. It's about a blend. And finding that balance between those two is important.
So there's a lot of talk about mental wellness at the moment. How do companies ensure this?
So I think the mental wellness, you know, has been a topic that a lot of individuals have been talking about for quite some time. And one of the things that has happened is with us being so removed from the offices and not being sociable with everybody else, we have found that the mental wellness of individuals has played a big part. You know, people have felt that they their schedules, possibly being remote, has rolled over into their personal lives because, you know, when you're at home, you just carry on working and there's no time, you're never off. And it impacted people's mental wellness. And that is also one of the reasons why a lot of the companies are looking at this coming back to the office, because it gives you an opportunity to interact with different individuals, to hear about different individuals, hear how are you doing, you know, what are you up to? You know, those kind of interactions that, you know, we used to have before, and now with the virtual world, it kind of fell away. And that did impact people's mental wellness. What's important that mental wellness does affect productivity. So if you as an organization are not looking at measures around that or doing a check on your employees from a mental wellness perspective, your productivity will be affected at the end of the day. So it's important that, you know, leaders look at that and look at their temperature within their teams and understand, okay, you know, there might be certain issues that might be coming out of it. And it does make it easier when you're in the office to kind of judge, you know, if somebody is okay or not okay. Rather than virtual, you could put a facade on. But again, you know, it can go on the flip side with the mental wellness. Coming back to the office, if they've got long commute times, that's also going to affect their mental wellness. So how do you balance that and you know, give them some sort of flexibility around it? So it is a fine balancing act, and I think leaders are learning as they go with individuals, and new generations coming into the workplace bring a different dilemma to it as well. For them, mental wellness is very important.
Yeah.
And they, rightfully so, you know, they really want to feel that they're giving back and they're being productive within the workforce, but they also are receiving and they're not being drained in terms of their mental well-being as well.
Has the whole move back to the office impacted women more? Because, you know, we know that women are more the homemakers than men are and take care of children more generally.
Yes, we have seen that the trend has been more towards men coming back to the office. So you'll probably find 60 to 70% of the men are quite open to coming back to the office, whereas women, you know, 30 to 40% of them find it difficult to come back to the office. And there's various reasons for that. You know, their lifestyle changed around, you know, the family dynamics, picking up their children from school and things like that. So it definitely has impacted a woman as well. However, again, it comes back to the flexibility. And I don't want to be the person to say, you know, give women more flexibility. That's definitely not what I'm saying. But it comes back to everybody's personal lives. You know, what can we do for you as an organization? And what is we as leaders can help you with that we both achieve what we want to achieve with a bit of a compromise in between? And I think that is very possible. If I look within our teams as well, you know, we do have we're predominantly a woman-based organization, funny enough. And, you know, we do have that flexibility as well. And, you know, it's not to say that the men don't get the flexibility. They do get the flexibility because they also want to go watch the sports events and things like that as well. So it's just about the conversations and having that trust element with your employees to be able to have that flexibility in their work schedules.
I've recently walked in some of the world cities, London and Washington, and I've discovered that people actually don't dress as formal anymore. Is that happening in South Africa as well? Has the suit gone out the back door?
Definitely. I think, you know, everything is a lot more relaxed at the moment from a work perspective. You know, people are more individual. They like to bring themselves to the office. And not that I'm saying that, you know, people are coming to the office not looking neat and tidy, because I think that's important still. But, you know, there is an element of individuality. And at the end of the day, you know, what I'm wearing on the outside doesn't necessarily project what I'm capable of doing and what my productivity looks like. So it's about, you know, be comfortable in who you are, be yourself, and bring your best self to work every single day.
Well, and ties, are ties still a thing?
I don't think I've seen a gentleman in a tie in a very, very long time, to be honest with you.
So,
you know, a nice collared shirt or a, you know, a shirt and maybe a jacket. And that's about it. So, but it's good to see because it is a lot more relaxed. It's not so, I think, you know, when you have this, you know, with a tie or, you know, if you're a lady and you've got these jackets on and all of that, it kind of breaks that trustability because it, I don't know, it seems a little bit unnatural sometimes.
Yeah. And Rutledge from Resorgenics, thank you so much. That was very interesting.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me again.